father should do, and I forgave him. Because I realized he didn't have a father in heaven when he was my earthly father. So he had no example of what it was to be a good father. My grandfather was his father, was not a good father. So his example was to follow his grandfather or his father. But something happened at the cross. It got broken. It got broken. That trend got broken at the cross at Calvary. For when Christ came into me, I got a new father. And I call him Abba because he's my daddy. At 71 years old, I still call him daddy. I love my father, earthly father. I do love him. Don't get me wrong. Love him. But daddy is in heaven. Father's here. Daddy's here. Amen? And when you realize he's my daddy, that's not just a word. That's a sentiment. That's a heart thing. That he loves me as his son. And he welcomes me to come to him anytime I need him. And I can trust that he's there for me. Will I always get what I want? No. But he gives me all that I'll ever need, including eternal life in heaven. Because you can have eternal life in hell too. And he said, if you want that, I'll give you that too. Amen. Okay. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. I could spend the rest of the year just on those scriptures. Let me back up here. I brought to you 1 John 5:11-13. I want to bring it to you in a different out of the Message Bible again. Listen to this. This is the testimony in essence. God gave us eternal life. The life is in his Son. So whoever has the Son has life. Whoever rejects the Son rejects life. I could stop and go, and I'm not going to. I'm going to keep on. My purpose in writing is simply this. That you believe in God's Son will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. The reality, not the illusion. And how bold and free we then become in his presence. Listen to that. We become bold because we know we have eternal life. We know we are the sons of God, that mean generically speaking. The children of God, if you would. We are. And if we are his children, Daddy, Abba, will let us come to him anytime we desire and anytime we need to. The best thing you can do is to go to him when you don't have a need. You go to him because you love him and you want to be with him and you're excited that I am a child of God. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm his child. And it's wonderful to be with him. It's so, daddy. Amen? I don't have that. He gives you that excitement. He gives you that desire. It's his. All you have to do is say, oh, I'm not sure I'm saved. Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth died on the cross, took my sins. He became my sin, and he gave me his righteousness. I believe he went to the grave. I believe he came out of the grave. I believe he ascended into heaven. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my soul. I believe it with all my strength. I believe it. Now, son, come here. I want to talk to you. Amen? Remember, if you say, and you just went through a whole thing, world with a woman named Joy Behar. If you don't know her, she's on The View. Oh, I know it's a dirty word. You forgive me. And she was talking about Mike Pence, and she said, Mike Pence said that Jesus speaks to him. And she said, I don't know about that. He said, Jesus speaks to him, and he hears it. He said, that sounds to me like mental illness. That's what she said. She ended up having to call Mike Pence and apologize. That wasn't good enough. She had to go on air and apologize. If you could have seen her face, that wasn't a face that was sorry. The only sorry she had is she had to do it. And I think she was threatened. If you don't do it, you're off. I think that's all it was. But the world thinks you're crazy because Jesus speaks to you and you hear him. They think you're mentally ill. I don't know about you, but I would say to them, let me ask you a question. Is your father still living down here? Yeah. You call him up on the phone. Does he talk to you? Well, guess what? My father does the same thing. I call him up on the phone. It's called. He answers me. And I talk to him and he talks to me. That's called me. And my father, Abba, talks to me. Because they don't know him. He said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep. If you're not one of his, you're not going to hear his voice. Today, if you haven't heard his voice, ask him. Tell him, I want to hear you. I need you to talk to me here. I got to hear you. Amen? All right, where are we? Let me go on. Oh, glory, I'm not going to hear. All right. My purpose in writing is simply this, that you believe in God's Son who will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion, and how bold and free and then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, sure that he is listening. And if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in this, as I was doing this again this morning, God brought this to me, and I'm going to bring it to you as he gave it to me. How to have that assurance that I am saved. Now, know this. Saying it once doesn't mean you're saved. And can the Bible talks about being saved. It's an ongoing process. Now, can you say it once? You know, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things about God that I don't understand. If I could tell you that I know everything about God, no. I don't know one. I can't even go one-tenth. I can't even go that high. God is so massive and so great. And his love is so powerful. I cannot say to you 100% on anything except one thing. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through him. That's it. That I'm 100% sure of. But if you ask me that somebody said that really meant it, they really believed it, they really, with all their heart, confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and then hasn't done anything with it after that, is it possible they are saved? 100% yes. Is it possible they're not? 100% yes. I don't know. I pray that they are. And God is so great. God's love is so mammoth. I believe he'll take just that much, just as much as the guy on the cross. He said, Lord, help me, save me. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He did nothing to deserve salvation. But God gave it to him freely. So, don't, this is not about who is and who isn't, it's about me. Amen. It's about me. I can't judge somebody else's walk with Christ. I cannot say that you're saved and not saved. I know them by their fruit. Well, look, I'm not going to spend my whole life following you around, finding out if you are or not. I got enough time to take care of myself and look at the fruit in my own life. All right? But I'll tell you this, I will know those who are going to speak in his name. If you're going to tell me something, the only way I'm going to agree with you is if it lines up with the word. Amen. Amen. If it doesn't line up with the word, amen. Okay? Go with me, John 21. We're almost done. Another half hour to an hour. Now, well, that's almost. Compared to eternity, that's almost. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at, and I've got these, and I'm doing this and doing that. All of a sudden, God just showed me something. And so I went there, and I did that. And I brought it together, and I hope it satisfies your question about assurance of salvation. It did. It helped me. All right. John 21, verse 15, we're going to start. Here we see that the moment that, you remember the time when Jesus met them on the beach, and he had just told them they were going fishing, and they came in, and they're sitting with Jesus. And they sat down and ate together. And the apostles were all there, the disciples. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Now, we know in the Greek, there's four types of love, right? There's agape love, which is God's all-consuming love. Agape love is, I love you no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you act, I'm going to love you. I mean, you know, God loves everybody that way. That's just God's love. Amen? That's the agape love. They have what they call the philo love. You know, the city of Philadelphia is called the brotherly love city. It starts with philo. I'm not saying these right, so forgive me if I'm not pronouncing them right. That's a love, really, it's based on one another. Now, it's me loving you. And it comes out of the agape love. It's not a love that's earned. It's a love between two brothers and sisters in Christ. We call it that way. And again, if we don't have the agape love, these other loves don't work out anyways. All right? Because they twist and turn them. And the last love I talked to you about, I will. And then there's another love called Star A or Star J, something like that. And that's a love of mother, you know, the natural love a mother and father has for a child. Love. That's why everything that's going on where abortion can on natural. Natural love of a mother for a child is one of protection to keep them safe. And when they abort it, it goes way beyond the bounds of just doing something wrong. There is such an evil, wicked tendency in there. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the spirit behind this abortion stuff. It kills babies. They used to do that. Balaam and Moloch, when they brought the babies to them and offered them as sacrifice. I don't want to get off. Anyways. So Star G or Star Gay or something to that effect is the other love. And then the last love is Eros. That love is a love of, and let's put it this way, subject to how you see something. In other words, if you certain, my wife, I'll use her. If she has a certain type of person that she can look at and desire, that is Eros love. They can go after that. You understand? It depends on how they look. So in other words, we get the word Eros, you get out of it what? Erotic. Anybody ever heard that word? Erotic love. That's where Eros, or erotic comes out of that word. It's not a word that's based on, I'm going to change that. Yes, Lord. It's a word that's based on watching somebody. I'll take R.C. Sproul and I'll take somebody else. Ravi Zacharias. Ravi, however you pronounce his name. That is a love because I love to see how God uses him. You understand that? So that can be like not. See, erotic doesn't mean it has to be unnatural, you know, bad stuff. But I see him and say, wow. When I first met my wife, it was Eros. It wasn't agape. It took years for me to get into agape with her. Really? A lot of battles, a lot of fighting of what? The flesh, mine, not hers? It ended up to be ours because she was trying to do her will and I was trying to do my will, so wills clashed. So there wasn't agape love. Unconditional love, no matter what you say, no matter what I do. It came over a period of time. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and I probably went a little too far with that, but anyways, listen. This is when Jesus said this, the first one, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He was, the word love there was agape. Okay? Unconditional love. Do you love me this way? Then, Simon Peter retorted and came back with the answer. You know I love you. He used the philo love, not the agape love. Because at this point, he didn't have the agape love operating. He had it in him, but he wasn't operating in it. I'll show you why that in a minute. Scripturally, we can say that. You mean to tell me you have the Spirit of Christ in you and that love in you and yet not operate in that love? If you allow the flesh and the old nature to operate, yes. Then he goes on to say again. He said to him, feed my lambs. I don't want to miss that. Feed my lambs. Then he said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. When this was all said and done, Jesus got to a point where he said, you love me. And he used the philo love. Because he knew that he hadn't got to the agape yet. So Jesus lowered the expectation down to the part where Peter could do it that way. What I'm trying to say to you is this. As you start and you have the Spirit of Christ in you and you are His and God is starting to shape you and mold you, remember this. You're not going to be perfect. That's why He continues to work the clay. Amen. You're not perfect. You're being perfected. And it's not by might nor by power. He's perfected you by the Spirit of God in you. If you have not the Spirit of God in you, there's no change. You act and talk. So if I got mad at my wife, I feel guilty. Well, it's guilty isn't from God. No. Because if I'm getting mad with her, I'm getting in the flesh. And guilt is in the flesh. Amen? So if I quickly, and we've learned this over many years, to not get there. We still get mad at each other at times. But it doesn't last. Now we laugh. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I would rather have peace than war anytime. I would rather have love in my way anytime. So how do we know? How do we have that assurance? Jesus was saying to Peter, now Peter was saved. Amen? He was saved. He just rejected Jesus before he came out of the grave. Remember? When he was being persecuted, Jesus was up being whipped. He rejected him three times. He came back in fear and hid because he was fearful what they were going to do to him. He wasn't doing what you would say a good Christian was doing. He went back to fishing. He figured it was all done, even after he saw the Lord. He wasn't perfect. God never asked you to be perfect. He declared you are perfect. When he said to you, be perfect as I am perfect, that was a declaration. It was not a request. If you are the Son of God, if you are his child, allowing God to work in you becomes a way of life. Amen? It's a way of life. It's not changing because you get older. He still works in me the same way he did when I first got saved. Matter of fact, when I first got saved, it was easier.
Yeah.
God treated me like a baby. Oh, you're a little baby. I'll just do all this. Now he says it's time to grow up. Time to grow up. If you're my son, who you claim to be, it's time to grow up. And hallelujah. Now, we know this. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, that's what he was saying to Peter. Peter, you love me? Yeah. Will you do what I told you to do? If you have that love for him, you'll do whatever he asks of you. Not quite. Well, I do some things. It's like somebody says to me, you know, I say, well, do you read the word? Well, I don't do as much as I should. Well, if you love him, wouldn't you do as much as you should? If that love's in you, would you not do what he asked of you to do? If you're his son, how do I, well, I think I love him. Yeah, I love him. He says, yeah. Where am I? My scriptures. Listen to this. He said, those who do not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So we've seen that we're talking to God and calling him Abba, Father. Yes, Lord, we love you. Well, here's what I want you to do. We love you. Here's what I want you to do. We love you. I think there's a scripture that says their lips are close to me, but their hearts are far from me. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he goeth. Again, I'm not telling you that this thing happens because you will it to happen. It happens because it's the will of the Father. He knows if he can bring you into alignment, into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, yes, you will be persecuted, but you will also see the glory of God. God wants you to succeed in being who he declared you to be in the sacrifice of his Son, the resurrection of his Son, and through the ascension of his Son. He said, you are just as if you are Jesus on earth because I got something. He said, I love you as much as I loved him. Mm-hmm. That's unconditional love. So when you mess up, God still loves you. And because he loves you, he chastises you. He brings you into a place of correction. Sometimes if things aren't going the way we think they should be going, the way they want them, the way they have been going, look back at the point where something changed in your life and see if God isn't trying to bring a correction to you. God does chastise and correct those whom he loves. Romans 5. Give me just a few more minutes, please. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In other words, when he's saying to Peter, do you love me? He knew already that the Holy Spirit had poured out the love of God into his heart, and he was asking me, you love me with the love that God has put in you, not with your love. You have the ability to love just as Jesus loved. Why? Because the Holy Spirit poured out his love into your heart. And he only did to those who were saved. He didn't do it for everybody in the world. You're getting to a point where you're seeing where the assurance you have? I got a love for me. I got a love in me for you. And you don't deserve my love. Look what you've said about me. Look what you've done to me. Look at the rejection you've given me. Look at all the nasty things you've written about me. But I love you anyways. I love you just because the love that God put in me loves everyone unconditionally. How do I know I'm saved? Because I love. Love because of what you've done. Because you've done this or you've done that or haven't done this or haven't done that. I love you because of the love that God has put in my heart. I love you. Amen. I can even love them in the world. I can love my enemy. I can love those who call me crazy because Jesus talks to me. I can love them. Every time I listen to somebody die, this guy that just passed away, what was his name, Hawkins? The first thought I get is, where is he? I don't rejoice in his death. The Bible says that God does not rejoice in the death of an unsaved person. And if that love is in me, I will not rejoice over that. Mm-mm. That could have been me. By the grace of God, by the love of God, he saved me. Not because I'm something wonderful. Not because I deserve it. And not only that, he didn't just save me, he keeps me. Just as he keeps the moon and the stars and the sun and the sky and the earth, right where it is, he keeps all of it. He keeps me the same way from falling. Oh, why do I love him? Why do I love him? Oh. Hallelujah. In John 14:17, he said this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why do you think they're acting the way they are? Why do you think they're doing what they're doing? They're blind. They can't see the truth. The truth is what sets us free. We have the Spirit of truth. Listen to this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That isn't the world. The world doesn't have any of that. Titus 3:5. He saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Not because of you. When he took the hand of the nation of Israel, he did not take the nation of Israel because they were good people. Because they washed behind their ears. Because they made good food. He didn't. He didn't pick them because they were good worshipers. Because he chose them. Purpose he had. You understand that? If you're chosen by God, nobody out of his hands. Nobody your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. He said he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:4 says, which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Do we have the assurance? I believe the one sure way, if you want to know if you're saved, it's in here. God spoke to you and told you. He wrote it down so people 2,000 years later, when Jesus wasn't walking this earth anymore, we can have that assurance. And if you're a sign of that assurance, how much do you love him? Do you love him more than you love yourself? Do you love him more than you love anybody else? Scriptures say there's no greater love that man has than one who lays down his life for another. Are you willing to lay down your life for Jesus? Are you willing to give your all to him because you love him, not because you have to? When I got married to my wife, I gave her everything, good, bad, and ugly. Whatever part I had, it didn't matter if it was my money. It didn't matter if it was something I owned, which was hardly anything. I gave her everything. And that's the way we live today. As if we're one. Why? Because there's a love in us. There's a love in us. Diane, at one time, because of my whatever, God was working in me and doing some things, and she was feeling neglected. And I'm not saying, you know, right or wrong, I don't know. I can't, someday we'll have that answer. But she got to a point, she wanted to leave me. And I didn't know any of this was going on, but God told her, you can't go. Can't go. Her love for him was greater than her love for me. So she stayed. Not because she had to, because he asked her to. You understand that? That's loving God. That's the love of God that was poured into the heart. The first thing that love does is help us to love him and lay down our life for him. That's the first thing that love does. The second thing that love does is help us love one another. The third thing that does is help us to love our neighbors, our co-workers, the people out there. And the fourth thing that love does is help us to even love our enemies. If you have that love in you, you're saved. If you haven't got to the point where you love your neighbors yet, or you love your enemies, well, God will bring that too if that's in there. That'll work out. Just be at peace. Relax. Let God do his work. Just say to him, Father, that person I can't stand listening to. I can't stand being around. I don't want to even talk to. I don't want to hear nothing about them. Help me to love them the way you love them. God says, okay. So he keeps bringing you into there. Bring them around there. Don't get upset about it because God's working something out. You just ask him to work it out in you. Let him do it. Okay, Lord. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despise you. You want to find out what love is? Stop complaining and murmuring. Start blessing. Amen? Once that is operating, you know who you are, because it goes against the grain. It goes against everything we have, everything we are, because the natural thing of man is, I'll love you as long as you be nice to me. And if you're not nice to me, I'm going to give you holy hell. Excuse the language, if you will. And that's not us, though. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, today that when we walk away from here, we know we're saved. And we're not gloating, and we're not, you know, prideful or any of that stuff, Father. We just humbly say thank you, Jesus, that you came, you died, you rose, and took us with you. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen and amen. Amen. Now, before we go any farther, I got Michael. We're running. Praise God. Love me. Love me. Michael, you got some stuff to hand out. I don't need this one right now. Go ahead. Hand everybody out one of those sheets. What is it? How many member Adrian Rogers? Anybody? Oh, a couple people, praise God. Adrian Rogers was a Baptist preacher. He went home to be with the Lord in 2005, wrote a lot of books, and his messages, solid, strong messages. One of the things he did, this is what you're going to get right now, he made out a test for the assurance of your salvation. He said, this is a test for you to look at. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do whatever you want with it, however you want, but I wanted everyone to have one. I don't want one per family. I want one per individual. So you have your own. Look at it when you got right now, unless you got a few minutes while they're handing them out. But just do it when you got time. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was good. So I brought it to you. Amen? Amen. Just how do we know I'm saved? There's a little test he brought out. There's three things on there, and I think you'll be blessed by it. Amen? Then we're going to have communion, take up the offering at the same time. We got so many things to go on yet. Okay, well, whoever wants to help is fine. I'm just slightly... Hallelujah. Can I have one?
Yes.
Thank you. The lordship test, the fellowship test, the relationship test. I hope and pray that you'll find it interesting. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A lot of people have Jesus Christ as Savior, but don't really want Him to be Lord. There's a difference. Amen. Come on up, guys.